Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 26 of No Spin Rodeo. Joined today, I'm Tommy Joe Lucia, joined by Ms. Kendra Santos and our producer, the guy behind the scenes, Greg Teagarden. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo, where we probably tell you something that you might not agree with, and sorry about that. Good afternoon. Kendra, you look fantastic, but you're moving your camera a lot. But you have on one of those giant plastic gold medallion things like they had at Kid Rock Rodeo. Oh, no, you don't. I thought I saw a medallion.
Actually, this is a thank you necklace from my old calf rubber friend, Gordy Alderson, from when I wrote a story about him being bit and spur maker to the Cowboy Stars. Well, and I really like cool. He made a brand for me. I thought it was really cool. Anyway,
it is very cool. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or whatever it is when you're listening to this. Thanks for downloading. Let's make the circle and see what's going on in everybody's lives. Greg, we'll start with you because you're usually the most boring.
And I still am, because all I'm doing is packing all my stuff because I'm getting ready to make a big move here from house. I'm going from Florida to North Carolina. It was kind of a quick decision and very little time to make it happen. So I'm just going to keep on being boring.
A guy like you doesn't typically do rash decisions like throwing everything in a U-Haul and leaving state. And yeah. Well, okay. Well, when do you pack?
I'm packing now. Yeah, I got to be packed before I leave for Santa Maria, because when I get back, we're getting the U-Haul and heading north.
At least you live in a smaller, when you own a bigger place, like Kendra, can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I've moved three times and thrown away 25% of my crap every time. And I still, like the amount of junk. My kids say I'm a hoarder, but I don't think I'm a hoarder. But I guess most hoarders don't think they're hoarders.
You're talking to the girl who just lived in a horse trailer for a year because her house was gutted by a house flood. So the contents of my house has been in storage containers. So, yes, you start chucking things. When you live in a house for 25 years and then it was packed up really fast by strangers, and then you start looking back through it, and you're like, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. So take only what you need, Greg. Pack light.
Oh, we make a run to the garbage every day. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we've lived here for 5 years. It's a small condo, and I just can't believe the amount of stuff that we don't need and don't use, but still kept it stashed away in the closets.
I just would like the one line explanation for people who don't know, because I don't 100% know. Like, you just mentioned Santa Maria, and you go to all these rodeos, a lot of rodeos every year, and I kind of sort of know what you do, but can you give us the one line version? Because like at Corpus Christi, we ran into each other late after hours at the convenience store, where everybody was getting midnight snacks. And when I asked around, I'd like to say hi to Greg. Where is he? And everybody's like, I don't know. He's up in the rafters somewhere. We don't ever see him. So could you just give us the one liner about what you do so people know?
So normally in most rodeos, I do the video production and the iMag for the screen and the Cowboy Channel. For Corpus, I was actually integrating the PBR scoring system to the building so they could display that on the big screens in the arena.
You're a scoreboard and a tech guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and so you know, on the weather, because it's always seasonably cool at Santa Maria, we're having May gray here right now. And it's interesting that here, like, it's when it's 70 degrees this time of year and it's kind of overcast, the Pacific Ocean is cold. And when it's 70 degrees here and it's overcast, it's cold. And in Corpus Christi, Gulf of Mexico is a little bit different. I would go out to go for my midday hike and break up the workday, and you're sweating. It's 70 degrees and you're walking along the shoreline and you're sweating through your shirt in 10 seconds. It's really different.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Oh yeah. But it's interesting because you can wear your sweatshirt and as soon as that sun comes out, it warms up nice out there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, I'll give you a moving tip. You talked about containers. We put all of our stuff in two containers in Texas and lived in an RV for 19 months. And I will say that it is remarkable the stuff that can melt in a container in Texas when you get it out. Like
here too.
These things, you wouldn't think they could. I mean, I had a knife melt. How does a knife, like they melted iron. So yeah, it gets pretty hot. Well, we better get into something that someone cares about. So let's, Greg, what about, we want to start the top. We always want to start the top of the shows with feedback because we want all of you listeners to know that we really want you to engage us. Call me a jerk, say you love Kendra, all that good fun stuff. Greg, what do you got in feedback from our episode 25?
Well, you're lucky because we don't have any jerk messages for you today, but have one for Kendra. Kudos, Kendra, for bringing up the PSA testing. My husband was just recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. We credit early PSA testing for catching this right now. He's stage one, and we're going to kick its butt. So thank you, Kendra.
Great.
They also mentioned that they had a question regarding Lunatic from Hell. From their understanding, this happened at a rodeo ground, and they're asking, is there a on-call vet for rodeo stock? And they mentioned it's a big loss for both the Birch family and the rodeo world.
I talked to people when that happened, and so I kind of know this. Like, so my understanding, it was at a rodeo grounds, which was not having an event at the time. They were going from one rodeo to the next, if I understand correctly. And they did have, I think we hit on this, we touched on it last episode, but that they had a very difficult time because it was late after hours type thing, getting vets to come after hours for one and for a wild bucking horse that didn't sound like much fun to work on at midnight for number two. And so it was a really tough situation to get the attention. So PRCA rodeos, yes, do have on-call veterinarian, but when you're traveling and you're at a fairgrounds that's not being occupied at the time, of course, that's not the case. So they did everything they could.
It's challenging because the amount of large animal vets that are out there has diminished so significantly. There's a lot of small animal vets, but we all in this, in our culture and lifestyle, need to help encourage the youth to look into veterinary medicine, specifically large animal, because there just is a shortage. There's a shortage of large animal vets, specifically equine vets, specifically women too. Now, I do hear that's kind of coming around, like a couple of the girls that are Utah Cowgirl Collective, New Crop. They want to be large animal women vets, and I think that's fantastic. So
as a daughter of a forever horse veterinarian, part of that phenomenon is because people like him were ranch raised, and they, you know, it was an extension to go into veterinary medicine because he grew up, you know, taking care of horses and cattle his whole life. And with the, you know, ranch land being developed in a lot of cases, you know, that's going a bit by the wayside. And the other thing is, I'll say from being like on the advisory board at Cal Poly, the small animal, it used to be mostly men in veterinary medicine. And now you have the admissions at Cal Poly is extraordinary, like in animal science. It's the girls now who have a 4.8 GPA, but a lot of them, if not most of them, are going into small animals. So it is something we need more of.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of
hey, Tommy, let everybody know that they can send their feedback. They can text us at 817-668-2395 or email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com.
Come on, people.
We love it. Bring it.
I dare you to try to get under my skin. Okay. Well, there's been a lot in a little amount of time. Kendra, do you want to take us for a lead on some topics for today, and we'll run through the current events?
I would lead with the fact that right before we got on this call, I had a call from an old friend leaving Patrick Gosch's memorial service in Elkhorn, Nebraska. And the sudden unexpected death of Patrick Gosch at 70 is a huge piece of news in our industry right now. And obvious, you know, for obvious reasons, but the Cowboy Channel and, you know, he's also the founder of The American. Those two things, those are, you know, the impact, the legacy. I don't know what the future holds. And, you know, I will welcome you to tell me what you've heard or whatever you want to do there. But there's no denying the impact that, you know, he wasn't always popular with his decisions, but he was very strong-willed and did not take no for an answer. And rodeo on TV is a whole new world because of Patrick Gosch.
I agree completely. You know, in reflection, because when I heard Saturday morning, probably just like everybody, because I had just, Patrick had given a presentation at the art convention and he had mentioned his health. But I don't think it was anything prevalent that anybody thought was like immediate. But I had meetings with Patrick, and Patrick was, for me, he was somewhere in between the most loving grandpa I've ever seen and a crazy businessman. And he could switch that persona so quickly from house shoes and a bathrobe to, you know, armor and a saber, and very determined. And so you kind of, you never really knew, you didn't know what to expect, which is not a bad thing. But as I reflected on it, his passion started for rural America, and he did things for the farmer in rural America that people said was stupid and crazy. And I'll be honest, the first time when I heard about the Cowboy Channel and they were going to do this and that, I was like, well, good luck, but that won't last long. And I was 100% wrong. And he invested a lot of money, a lot of money in making the Cowboy Channel what it is. He's had a good staff around him. And the popularity of rodeos on 24/7 surprised me and ended up being a very lucrative platform for him. I mean, he invested a lot of money, but he created an asset that is worth 5 times more than I would have, or 10 times, probably 15 times more than I would have ever predicted it, and is in demand. And so hats off to a guy that, I think he loved the cowboy, and I think he loved the sport. I do. And he loved the farmer. And our industry owes him a bronze, right? He's the real deal. Appreciate what he's done. Now, it's going to be interesting because we've all heard, and we'll find out what you've heard, Kendra. But, you know, I've been in and out of conversations and or meetings about the purchase of the Cowboy Channel by other entities. And, you know, they have a long-standing contract with the PRCA. And the key to that, really, one of the big keys to that originally, is the broadcast rights of the NFR. And that's understandable. And the first offer that I heard that Patrick got for the Cowboy Channel, I fell out of my chair. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. And he declined it.
And, is it inappropriate to say what it was? Would that be inappropriate? Or?
Well, I need to look back, but I think in the neighborhood of 45 to 60 million in the first run. Okay. Now, I may not be privy to all the offers. Okay. I'm just the ones that I heard about. And that's significantly more today. And because of the demand to get a hold of this product, which is good. Hats off to Patrick. Now, here's the thing. Patrick truly loved, because you could see it. If had either one of you guys ever seen Patrick walking around the NFR? I mean, like he was, I think he was joyful, right? That, you know, all these people would come up and talk to him about, thank you for bringing rodeo to my TV 24 hours a day. And I think he loved that. And I think it had become a part of his identity, which it does with all of us. So selling that, even though it might've been a really smart business decision, there's probably some personal in there, right? Because it's mine. It's my baby. I took the risk. I like controlling it. When everybody with on the business side is going, Patrick, hello, Patrick, right? So I think there will be something will happen absolutely relatively soon. Here's what's interesting to me is that I had pretty good sources that said that the Cowboy Channel deal was close to selling prior to Patrick's passing, but with significantly other purchasers based on who Patrick wanted it to go to. Okay. Because, you know, if I'm going to give my baby to somebody, I want it to be someone that I like. Well, that's all changed now, probably. I assume, I have zero proof of this, but I assume now it's going to be about the dollar signs, right? And if that's the case, the buyer field significantly changes and it starts to whittle down to really one, in my opinion. And we'll see. There are multiple people in the mix. Some of them don't have as much money as the others. The one, I'll be honest, the people that I've heard in the mix, the one that doesn't have quite as much maybe capital to spend on it, like might not be the number one bidder, would actually be the very best for the network.
Are you purposely not going to name names?
I'm not, because I was told in confidence, so I better not. It's no secret that Teton Ridge has been after the American or after the Cowboy Channel forever. So the big money person, I don't have any problem saying this. The people with the most money that will write the biggest check will be Teton Ridge. It's the others that I think could do a really good job with it. I don't know that they'll be able to have as big a checkbook as a Teton Ridge would have. Now, I don't know what you've heard, Kendra, but here's what we know. We know it will, I would bet a lot that it will change hands as quickly as the, you know, the what do you call it? When the judge, you know, when
probate.
Yeah. This takes time to happen, but it'll happen quickly, in my opinion. And it'll be interesting to see who gets it. Either one of you heard anything?
Well, two camps of very, very high ranking sources have been talking to me like they're just 100% certain, and there's two different answers. So they can't both be right. And so I'm sure it's the same two camps you're talking about, but these people are 100%. They're even giving a date when it's going to hand over to this group. And then the other camp is like, oh, I'm absolutely positive. It's set in stone. But then again, last year at the NFR, some of the people involved in both camps were saying, oh yeah, it's a done deal. We're going to get it. So we don't know. And we also don't know. I don't know Patrick's wife, Angie, but his grown daughters, Gatsby and Raquel, have, you know, Gatsby's an attorney, I believe. And Raquel has been very, very immersed inside of the eye of the Cowboy Channel and all of its entities. And so I'm certain that they want to do right by what they felt their dad's wishes were. So what that means, I don't know, but it's a big deal.
It's funny when these things happen, family upon family upon family, boy, people and situations change during that probate, right? It's almost sad in some cases. I'm not saying that that'll be the case here, but I've seen it even in my family, right? I've seen, you know, it's like I tell my boys, I figure it out for yourselves. don't plan on anything because I've never made anything. So we'll see. I think we're probably talking about the same two groups. I have no problem saying Teton. You know, if I had to guess now, I would guess Teton gets it. Then again, me, I think myself and the rest of the industry still hasn't figured out what Teton Ridge is about, right? So it's very hard to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, they do first-class events and first-class broadcast, and they spend a lot of money, and the Americans cool, and, you know, a lot of – and good people work there. It's just they've been in the game, spent a lot of money, and they don't feel – they don't feel like one of us yet. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I think we can move past this subject, but I just think, you know, the bottom line is thank you, Patrick, because not like he was a close personal friend of mine, but there's just what he did is monumental for, you know, in the history, in the timeline of our whole history of our sport. It's a big deal. And as like a rodeo mom, to get, you know, the other night when I'm working like a crazy person on a deadline and I get to, you know, flip over and watch my kid rope a steer at Reading. I mean, it's just how cool, you know? So thank you to him, I think, is my big message.
Super grateful for what he's done for our sport. Super grateful for his passion. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, so I this just rolls really easily to me into, I just, Greg and I both did just, you know, spent a couple weeks ago at Rodeo Corpus Christi. And then that led straight into, you know, the PBR World Finals and Kid Rock's Rock and Rodeo, which the top two in each event at Rodeo Corpus Christi were on the WCRA's free riders team at the Kid Rock's Rock and Rodeo. And something, there were new things, old things, you know. As you pointed out last time we got together, the gold medals aren't really new, but those things were freaking huge. What I saw, I have heard so many different things about that. The players, the Cowboys and Cowgirls, mostly seem to have high praise just for the, if nothing else, the potential of it. I think. Did we hear 5.5 hour production or is the, and then plus Kid Rock at the end or something like that? Is that what you heard?
I was invited. I went, got there at 7:30 and I left at 12:10 AM or 12:05 AM. And the rodeo wasn't over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
okay. I haven't been able to find the time. There's two things I know about the telecast so far. The CBS Sports one hasn't shown yet, but my TV is set to record every PBR event. Well, that recorded as a PBR event. And so I know for whatever reason, my TV, DirecTV, whatever, even when I do the ad extension, cut it off at like 3 or 3.5 hours. So I know the whole thing's not there, but I'm dying to ask you what it was like in person, because when I've so far taken the time to watch about 20 minutes of it, which was with the first part of the barrel race and the first part of the bareback riding. And it was pretty tricky when they did the view where you could see like both barrel racers going at the same time, which is part of, you know, what's so cool and unique about the situation. It was so smoky in there and the cameras had to be so far back to get two barrel racers at the same time that it made it really difficult to watch because they looked like ants across the screen. So what was it like in person, I guess, is what I would love to know.
Well, I really, when we talked about, I figured we were going to talk about this. And so I am kind of in a conundrum because I don't want to, I don't want to sound overcritical. I want to sound smart and objective. So the first 15 minutes of the show, for one, anytime you do an event in any of these stadiums, it shines up anything because you're in this stadium, right? Whether it's Globe Life Field or there, there were a lot of people there. You could tell there were a lot of new rodeo people there because they came to see Kid Rock, and that's fine. And so the first 20 minutes, they started it with Kid Rock and then Jelly Roll coming in in Elon Musk's truck, like the General Lee. They sang two songs. It was great. They had the standard introduction of six teams, which we'll get into later. And the crowd was, so for me, the crowd was, I mean, they were there 100%. And then from that point on, it was a slow bleed, I think, for them, because that's what I watch when I'm at any event. It's terrible because I can't watch an event objectively, right? I'm always critiquing or trying to learn how to do something better or what the fans liked or didn't like. Now, as it relates to competition and trying to analyze the fans, and then I'll get into my, after you comment a little bit, I'll get into my overall overview. It's unique. So I was trying to think of how I would describe it, and I would describe it as a spectacle. I wanted to describe it as a sporting event, but I would have to describe it as a spectacle. There was a lot going on. So the two barrel racers coming in. Well, the first one's out, the clock lights, which was kind of cool. It would turn blue for 20 seconds. So you had 20 seconds of blue, then two reds and a green, and the girls would run at the green light. And so the clock messed up on the first time. They stopped them down. The second time it went. And but it's hard. It is hard to watch two things at once, right? I mean, it's so unique, though, because here's the deal. You're really only looking to the end on any of these timed events, right? So even the barrel race, you're looking at the third barrel. Where are they at? How far ahead is the other one? Are they going to win or lose? And the same thing like in the bulldogging. You know, who laid down flat first, which was cool. Team roping, I think, was the coolest to watch just because to see them go across the arenas. But here's the thing. I know rodeo. And I didn't have a clue what was going on. No idea. For one, all the teams were named after songs. Well, that's unique, but really, I mean, but you really did not know what was, or at least I didn't, and I was trying to know. I mean, you knew that two people were competing and one would advance. That's about all you knew. But it was hard to really know what team they were on. And so it ended up, I think everybody tried to follow it, Kendra, right at the beginning, right? We were all really engaged, but after really long delays between disciplines and stuff like that, pretty soon you kind of gave up trying to keep up, if that makes sense, which takes a little bit of the sport out of it for me. And it became more of a, well, let's just see what happens next. Oh, that's cool. Let's see what happens. Oh, that was interesting. Oh, that's fun to watch, you know. But anything like that, I mean, that's like eating French toast. The first couple pieces is great, but after about seven servings, you're over it, right? So from a live perspective, it was cool. It was cool. It was a spectacle. Here's what I thought about the athletes, and I'm going to kick it back to you. Watching the athletes, because I'm looking at the spectators and I'm looking at the athletes. Are they taking this seriously? Of course they are in some level because there's real money on the line, right? Everybody wants to win real money. But it felt to me like, and I talked to someone else about this and I agree, it felt to me more like if you ever watch the All-Star games, right, in the sports where the athletes are there, they're pretty laid back, which is cool, right? They're not as nervous, which is the uniqueness of it. They're pretty laid back. The real competitors, you know, that are just never quit, they're competing. So it felt like that. It felt like they were having fun, right? And competing at the same time. So I thought that was good, but it didn't feel like it didn't feel like hard-nosed competition, right? I mean, little things like green light, go. Well, now on the timed events, like, you know this because you're boys, there's so many people prepping calves. If you remember 30 years ago, they would run a calf in the chute. Greg, you wouldn't know this, but when I was a kid, they'd run a calf or a bulldog and steer in the chute and hardly anybody touched them. Remember that, Kendra? Like, it was just, this is what we do. And they go out now, you know, it's very important who's pushing and who's got them looking. And I noticed on a couple of those animals, you know, if the animal happened to look down, Kendra, or something, right about the green light. It was what it was. Then I realized that their times didn't start. They couldn't start till the steer. So the green light really didn't matter on them, right? Because they went when the steer went. And so it's just all of that stuff that kind of made it, you kind of gave up on trying to, because I really wanted it to be team sport, right? Because I'm a sports guy. And that part didn't feel like that. Now, did you hear anything from, like, I think the Cowboys and Cowgirls had fun, but I'll give you an example. RJ or Lanningham's ride, like, he's not supposed to advance. Like anybody that watches bareback riding, right? He's not the guy that's supposed to advance, in my opinion. Now, everybody's an armchair quarterback, but in my opinion, he doesn't advance out of that round. So it's just little things like that that were harder for me.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people who were there, and I felt like, well, first I'd love to ask you two quick questions about attendance. One, when you left at 12:10 in the morning after being there however many hours, 5 hours or whatever, was the crowd still there because Kid Rock was still yet to go on? Did they keep the crowd that long?
There were lots of people still sitting in their seats, but they weren't there. They were waiting for Kid Rock. There were still a lot of people in the stands.
And then also, what kind of percentage of capacity of AT&T Stadium was open, and what percentage was tarped?
They did it the wide way, right? So it was half of the house was open for sale, and okay. It looked good for TV. It was full. Now, you know, I heard it was sold out, but I also heard that there was a lot of complimentary tickets, free tickets given, paper, they call it, to make sure that there was a lot of people in there. But here's what you could tell. I bet you 50% of those people came to see Kid Rock like they would at Rodeo Houston. The only difference is they got there early, right? Because this was a new event and nobody knew what to expect. But I can guarantee you, if you said it's the exact same event next year and you want to come, the loyal Kid Rock fans would come at 11:45, right? There was just a lot of Kid Rock fans waiting. You can tell they look like Kid Rock is the Detroit, you know, he's changed his image, but, you know, he used to have a completely different image. And now he's very USA and red, white, blue and conservative, which fits our core. And that's what was up there, and American flags. But you could tell these people, there was a lot of them there to watch Kid Rock, a lot. And I didn't even watch him. I mean, I watched the first deal. I would have loved to have seen him. And I think he came on at 12:30. That's what I heard. He took the stage at 12:30. I wasn't there. And I think he said, hey, I'm sorry it's so late, right? And I don't even know how long he played.
I was told maybe 45 minutes at the end, but I wasn't there. So,
but I do know what that venue cost and the staffing cost. And there's no telling what the override was, right? Right, because when you start to go that long with staff and overtime, that was an expensive event.
Gotcha. Well, I contestants. I heard all sorts of things, which it was pretty interesting. And to me, okay, the WCRA's free riders ended up winning it, which was kind of fun, having just spent a week with these people. And I think by all accounts, they would have been considered, you know, the underdogs going in or whatever. But I will say there were a couple of interesting things. Trevor called to visit when he was driving to the Cowboy Channel the other day to do a tribute to Patrick, like the first day that they did a tribute. It must have been Monday or whatever. And just visiting with him, I'm like, so how was it? You know, and his team, which was his team of calf ropers, which is Tuff Cooper and Corey Solomon, they won the gold medal in the calf roping. He did mention that they roped Wagyu cross calves, which I've never heard anybody say that before. And that
What does that mean?
It sounded like maybe they were a little wild. I could swear he said that a really good run there was like 11. And again, I haven't, you know, I can't look it up because there's nowhere to look it up.
I don't know how that could be because they went narrow side. That was the other thing. The timed event shoots. Now, I don't know the exact distance, Kendra, But it, I bet you it was 100. Well, I don't want to lie here. It wasn't any more than 110 to 20 feet from the fence, the wide part of the fence to the boxes. So everything was turning, right? Everything was turning. You better get a rope on it quick, because if it got out there 15 feet, all it saw was a crowd. It was taking a left or a right.
So, yeah. So to me, I'll say this. They got total buy-in from the contestants as far as social media. The contestants, as a whole, what I've seen, were very like happy to be a part of it and hopeful that it will continue. And there was, you know, a couple little things that were mentioned more than once to me in passing where, okay, for one little stat, and if everybody doesn't know it, every contestant was paid $4,000 show up fee. So everybody there got $4,000 before it started. Okay. And then the members of the winning team got 27,000 and something each, and the coaches too, I believe. So, okay. So there's that. But so there was a couple little interesting twists to Team Rodeo. So people who won their event, won the gold medal in their event, they got zero additional. So if your team didn't win, you got, you know, and you know, like some of them said, hey, that was the rules going in. So that's what it is. And, you know, you had said something recently that I hadn't thought of, which I get now that you said it, about like PBR teams. Okay, all of a sudden, a 68-point ride in the bull riding or whatever means something, right? So you really have this pulling for your team. Interesting twist on the Kid Rock Rodeo that there was no bull riding. That is, you know, I wondered how many people were surprised about that.
A bunch.
Okay. Well, and I mean, the basics was, well, it was during the PBR finals, so we weren't going to have it because our guys didn't. Is that why? I mean,
that's what I assume. You know, that bull riding pot is thin, and maybe he didn't want to compete with the bull riding crowd.
Okay. Oh, it does. You know, I mean, I don't know the reasoning, so I can't really comment on it. But I mean, there are a lot of amazing bull riders, and oh, that'd be a great place to throw in the what was I? I put a quote out the other day when I saw the picture of Sage Kimsey with his $350,000 PBR finals check. And the quote was, Sage Kimsey's just a big fish in a small pond, because I just love how many people called him stupid for going to the PBR. And I just love how he did what he thought was best for his family. You know, that's what we all need to be doing. But anyway, on the Kid Rock deal, to kind of put a bow on it somewhat and wrap that part of it up, like more money for contestants, you know, I'm all about that. More exposure for rodeo, I'm all about that. CBS Sports, haven't seen that telecast yet. When is it on? It's on the next couple of days sometime.
Sunday, I think. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to know for a 5.5-hour rodeo how long the telecast is going to be, because obviously they're going to have to boil it down before it goes on CBS Sports, right? But I'll say this, my closing on this, because me being about money for Cowboys and Cowgirls. In 2 weeks, between Corpus Christi and the Kid Rock Rodeo, Bailey Shote, who I believe has been to one NFR, I think she was a Rookie of the Year a couple years ago and then took some time off. Bailey Shote, she won Corpus Christi in the barrel race. She won 57,000 plus. In between those two events, there's this kid that I met at Corpus Christi who won Corpus Christi in the Calf Open, Jarvis Demery. He won over 52,000 between those two events. Like, that's so many zeros onto the biggest check of his career. I can't even say anyway, it was fun meeting him. Side note on him is that I met him and did a story about him at Corpus Christi. And then he was there with Bulldogger Tory Johnson and Glenn Jackson, who roped calves at Corpus Christi. He's 43 years old and was hazing for Tory Johnson. But I will say, as a follow-up on Tory Johnson, Tory Johnson took a wreck that was so bad it could have easily killed him at Corpus Christi on the last night, Saturday night, going full throttle, gets to the back end, there's nowhere to go. He collides at extremely high speed with the bucking chutes and lays there motionless. And it was absolutely awful, fractured skull. He tried to get home after a few days in the ICU at Corpus Christi, and he was leaking spinal fluid, and so was checked in Oklahoma City at the hospital. He's still in the ICU, but things are looking up, and it looks like he's going to get to go home soon. So thankful for that. Back to people making money in 2 weeks' time over these two events. Bailey Shope, 57,000 plus. Jarvis Demery, 52,000 plus. This kid, Mackenzie Mays, who was the hero barrel racer at the Kid Rock Rodeo, 48,000 plus. Kylie Walls, who was last year's high school rodeo champion breakaway roper, won almost 48 grand. And Luke Brown and Jade Corkill, 48 grand between those two rodeos. I heard Jade say that that was the coolest rodeo he's ever been a part of. I talked to Jade after the rodeo at Corpus Christi. He's home. He's not rodeoing right now. And he put in for the draft for the Kid Rock Rodeo and was passed over. And it kind of hurt his feelings. And that he got to go, I mean, to two rodeos and win 48,000, you know, that's pretty neat. And that's pretty high praise for the Kid Rock Rodeo that, you know, maybe it was because he appreciates it so much now that he's not been going, but he was highly impressed and happy to be a part of. I will also say a note on, there were people, this is a weird one for me to kind of process. There were people drafted, people that got in through Corpus Christi, people on a team at the Kid Rock Rodeo who never got a chance to compete. Think yeah. about that. That's wild. And also, there were people paid $27,000 for being on the winning team who got a no time when the gold medal person in an individual event got no money, you know, nothing. So, I mean, there are some twists, and I'm sure they've been back to the drawing board day and night since, you know, putting tweaks on it for next time if they're going to go ahead. But I did overall hear that the timed events stole the show. Does that seem fair?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, so a couple things on it. First, I'm with you. The money is fantastic. The opportunity and the exposure, fantastic. Gold medals on that. However, that money doesn't continue to get paid out. And everything doesn't continue if you don't put forth a product that is sustainable. Right? It has to be a sustainable product for that prize money. People will invest in something once or twice, but I'm always worried about the once or twice and gone, right? Because what we need is sustainability in the deal, and I love it. So little things for me on this that I think might have made it better. What I love about PBR teams bull riding is what you mentioned earlier, is that the scores add up. Right. And the team with the most points of all their bull riders on the bulls advanced. That makes sense to me. And that's what I don't like. I did not like heads up competition, winner move forward. Now, you normally hear me say I like progressive, right? I do. I think that's sport. But what I think would have been much cooler, and nobody asked my opinion, but I'll give it, is if you just had two teams, one team in this arena, one team in this arena. And let's say two bareback riders for each team, add the points up. And add the points up all the way through. Figure out a way that in the timed events, the lowest, you know, the placings gave you points to where the fans could look and go, you know, team X is ahead, right? And the risk you run in that is the same risk that sports run in, that it's a blowout. But that's real sports. Like, that's a risk you take when you say, who's the best? And we're not going to hide anything. Winner wins, right? And so I just think that combining the scores, much easier to follow for the fans, would have been better. Of course it was a long rodeo, but again, the American was a long rodeo and the Americans lasted. I mean, yeah, it was way long and took way too long and all of that. That's the least thing. I mean, yeah, I didn't like a long rodeo, but what I was more, is it an engaging product that will keep people coming, or is it just a cool spectacle? And what happens with spectacles is people will come see it live once, but then they'll opt to watch it at home probably the second time, right? And so, or more likely than not. So those are the kind of critical things that I have. I thought it was cool. I thought it was very cool. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it. I think the Winston Pro Tour was better team concept, frankly. A lot of people don't know, but that was team rodeo way before a lot of the listeners' time. And so I think team rodeo is a possibility. I would love to see it exist. I just don't know. I think there, like you said, there's got to be a lot of tweaks. I think we've rolled this one over. You know, I think it was cool. I'll say it was cool. Could it be better? Yes. It felt like an all-star game.
I read the WCRA is doing team rodeo now.
Oh, they are. Well, I think
WCRA. Kid Rock, WCRA, and PBR were three-way partners on the Kid Rock Rodeo, right?
Right, right. And the whole concept, I'm assuming, financially, is that you start to sell teams like they've done with PBR teams, but that...
Yeah, it's something about them, you qualify for a team or something. It was in a Bobby Moat letter he sent out last week.
Well, yes, because when they dropped the Triple Crown, so, you know, the model, and in case some of you aren't rodeo fans on the deal, the model of the WCRA, and like Donnie Gay says, everything's alphabet soup, but here's the model. You can pay a fee on an app to get points for any rodeo in the country, right? This is the simple version. So you, any rodeo you enter, and they've rated all these rodeos and how many points you get for winning them, depending on how tough they are to win. So you pay, I'm making it up, $25, and you win that jackpot, you get 2 points. If you pay $500 and win Reno, you get 500 points. I'm making up all the numbers. But the point is, you have to have events to qualify, right? Why would you play that game? You know, it was the Triple Crown of Rodeo, but you got to be playing that game as an amateur or a pro for the big payouts. Their plan, the way it looks from that letter and stuff, is that, you know, it was great that their team won. That was even better for their playlist. You can be a nobody, enter, you know, get enough points, get into Corpus, advance on. They're still going to do the event over on the East in that beautiful venue. But they got to have big events, Greg, right? And I think they're planning on these team, this Rock Kid Rock thing, having more events. I don't know what you've heard, Kendra, but so that they have more things for these people to qualify for. And that makes sense. That's what they need to do.
Yeah. Before we move past the whole subject of AT&T Stadium, the fact that rookie Brazilian bull rider Cassio Dias, who got hurt a week or so ago, he came through and won the world championship. And the fact that they give a $1 million bonus to their world champion is about as badass as it gets. As far as I know, nothing has changed. It's still paid out over 10 years, which probably for tax wise and Cowboys wise is a wonderful model. But $1 million, 10 years, $100,000 a year. Imagine the change of life. Like, I saw Adriano Marias, who, you know, first ever world champ, interviewed the other day, and gosh, he looks so different now. But he was saying, you know, I grew up in a dirt floor house with no running water. Like, the PBR changed my life. Well, it just changed Cassio Dias's life too, and that is so awesome.
It is, and I remember I was a part of the first $1 million bonus, or, you know, award with Randy and those guys. And the PBR's done, taking nothing away from anybody, right? You know, and Donnie Gay made a good point, and I'll kind of cap this all off with, we have a good product. We have to be careful. And I think I mentioned this in a podcast earlier about Dad changing his axe. We just have to be careful because we have a good product. We need to refine it. But you really can't, you got to be careful, right? How far you go overboard to where the, you know, the avid fans, which is our core group, go, hold on, right? Hold on. We like what we like. So I'll leave it at that. So there you have it. That was Kid Rock's Rockin' Rodeo. PBR Finals, I think, had a successful run at AT&T Stadium. Congratulations to those winners. Great to see Sage. Because remember, we had conversation if Sage was going to make it. So I'm happy for Sage. And I'm happy that there's opportunities to make decisions.
Well, and to remember, for everybody who doesn't remember, like, the reason he barely, you know, squeaked in is because he had surgery earlier this year. And so he's had a lot of adversity. But again, he's had to bite his tongue and keep his head down and his mouth shut for all the people calling him stupid to you know, discontinue, at least for now, his march at Donnie Gay's record. So, you know, he's got 7 gold buckles and everybody's like, oh, what a dumbass, you know? Well, he's doing what's best for him.
Donnie was happy with his decision. I'm pretty sure of that. All right. So there's a big story hitting, and our podcast is usually 24 hours delayed. So keep that in. We'll get it up as soon as we can. Hopefully this is real timely that you get to hear this. But let's talk about little T-Rex. You want to give us the story on that?
So, yes. So, like, what we keep kind of coming back to is sort of like in the blink of an eye. So a couple days ago, I believe Spencer Wright, who won the world champion bronc rider in 14, I think he was at Cloverdale, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, his wife Callie was home with the kids, and they have their little girl and their little boy Levi, who's 3, and a baby. And my understanding, she just, you know, in the blink of an eye, right? She goes in to check the baby. Well, little Levi's out there on his, you know, his toy tractor that he loves to play on. And there's a creek nearby. And, you know, we all do these things every day, right? They ride across the creek on like their ranger, right? And he has seen this. Well, as the story goes, apparently he was going to try to cross this creek, little cowboy Levi, you know, on his tractor. And the creek, you know, the snowmelt, whatever, was running a little faster than usual, and it swept him downstream. And imagine the panic for a mother to very quickly, like, look outside, where is he, you know? And by all accounts, you know, she called 911. The neighboring area, everybody jumped into action, dove in the water, you know, all hands on deck. And my understanding is that they found Levi about a mile downstream, and nobody's ever going to know exactly how long he was underwater. Callie has since said, you know, to the angels who, you know, dove in that water, to the person who, you know, thought it was a good idea to keep administering CPR for an hour when most people would have given up. So they've spent the last couple days in the hospital. The first night thinking, you know, there was no brain activity, thinking everybody now has seen the heartbreaking photo of this mom with her holding her little boy and Spencer standing there helpless to do anything. And they thought they were, you know, was saying goodbye. Well, then the change of doctors and nurses comes in the next morning, and it was like, let's give him a little bit more time. They saw some little sign of life, right? Like, let's just give him a chance. Meanwhile, I've never seen the rodeo community rally like by the thousands, if not millions of people. Just, I mean, you know, this little kid has stolen everyone's heart. And so last night, and here we are, it's Friday, May 24th. Well, last night, you know, Callie puts up, Levi woke up, and we're all just like, what? I mean,
it's answer to prayer. Now, did you hear this? I heard this from a pretty reliable source that Levi's sister wanted to FaceTime him, and this is when he was out, right? He was just in the bed. And so they told her, look, he's not going to talk to you. He's sleeping, okay? But we'll let you FaceTime him. Well, they FaceTime him, and he's, you know, out. and the brain activity monitor starts flying. And they were in shock. Like, that gives me cold chills, right? So then I don't know if it was in this order, they played the T-Rex song that he loves. Same thing, right? And I think, can you imagine, like, when little sis talks to him and all of a sudden the brainwave activity, and for me, it's all God, like prayers, the amount of prayers, thank God. And what, isn't it fantastic, Kendra, that there's positive right now in this story, right? Isn't that just,
you know, it's like a straight miraculous. And I, you know, the thing, I guess people have come back from technically being dead to tell stories, you know, of these things that happen. And the one and only person that I have, you know, sat with holding her hand when she died was my Nana Lucy. And it was an amazing experience for me. She was like the most, I look like her, I act like her. She was the most, had the most impact on me on any woman of my lifetime. And that was like a gift to me, because now I don't fear death like I think I did before because of the way it went. But I remember the nurses and the doctors, you know, when we were left to just be, and they said, you know, keep talking to her because she can hear you till her last breath, she can hear you. And so I did. And this, for this little boy, and also in the state of this country right now, for people to unify and rally, and people from all different religions, people from outside of rodeo, people, you know, I this morning I get this text that like all the people that live on houseboats in Berkeley, California are praying for little Levi. Like, what? People have nothing to do with rodeo. I've been praying for this kid. And it's like, everyone gets to, you know, to each his own on beliefs of all kinds, but I cannot look at it as anything but a miracle. And the emotions that these people have been through, but like, I'm so proud of our Western world and how this has gone. And we're also thrilled. And by the way, it's not like, oh, everything's fine. And I've been getting my information from people, you know, it's stuff sent to me as like things that were typed by rights. I'll just say that. But the stuff that's gone on is just, it's beyond my comprehension. And I'll say this, I've been slammed with work. And yesterday I have a really, what I know is a short window where four generations of my family are here on this earth right now. And my dad's about to turn 86 and he's, you know, he's getting tired. And I have a 1-year-old grandbaby. And yesterday when I was just, I had so many deadlines, you know, I just shut it all down.
Yeah.
And my son Lane and I took little Charlie over to my dad's, and it was like, this is what it's all about.
Amen. Well, when you say blink of an eye, which was fitting for you to recommend, time and people to me are a precious commodity. And we often waste our moments, like you're saying. And, you know, there's that old saying, you never know what the worth of water is until the well grows dry, right? You know, sometimes it takes a single moment in our lives, whether it's a small interaction or large trauma, to give us pause and to live in the moment. For me, my faith is strong. Cancer, throat cancer did that to me, changed my complete perspective of what is important to me, like complete change in perspective. And I had faith before I had cancer, But my perspective on life and success have changed. Success for me is my friendship with Greg. Success for me is my relationships with my rodeo family like you. Those are the things now to me that it's that, you know, it's that when you say blink of an eye, look around maybe today, everybody, and live in the moment and start to put into columns how good you got it. Because usually how good we got it, there's a bigger list. But for some reason, the how bad we got it are in bold print. But there's not near as many. We were so much more blessed than we are not, even in the country we live in. I just think we need to remind ourselves to live today. Like in my world, I'm planning. That's what I'm doing. I'm planning events and thinking 3 months down the road. And last night I went and got Asher, my grandson, and we just sat outside in the grass talking. And that's so much more important to me. You know, and again, I'm strong in my faith, but everything is a blink of an eye, but I don't think God ever blinks. So that's my deal. He's watching us and in this with us. And so my only thing, and I'm sure the Wrights would say that, you know, just to see that baby wake up, right? I saw the text. Like, oh my, how can you not believe in miracles? And we are fortunate enough to be in a community, the Western lifestyle community, that while we have our differences and we will punch each other in the mouth, we will also all in unison. We've done it time and time again, spin around shoulder to shoulder and support each other. And that's what's beautiful about our people. Beautiful about our people. We respect our flag. We respect each other. Oh, we've got opinions and we will spit and we will fight. But when anybody needs something, it's true. It's just true. And it makes me so damn proud to be a cowboy, to live in this industry. When I see this, so proud of our peoples. Our people are just living the moment, right?
Yeah, live in the moment. And I don't know why, but this morning I was thinking about some of our friends who've been given really tough curveballs in this life, you know, and like Jake Barnes lost his son at the NFR in 2005, you know, it's like, what? Or Jarrod Zane, paralyzed. Dwayne Danes, paralyzed. Amber Lee Snyder, paralyzed. But what have they done? Like, every day is precious, a precious gift from God, and they make the most of it. And look at all the things that they're doing. They didn't, instead of looking at, oh, what happened to them, they're looking at what can I still do? What can I do? And it's so inspiring. Because if we would count our blessings instead of, you know, pining on the one thing that went wrong, how about being grateful, you know, for what we do have? And I mean, the Wrights, I mean, they're the first to say it, Levi's not out of the woods yet. You know, they, I believe, had to, you know, sedate him because there's a lot going on all at one time, you know. But my understanding, what Stetson's putting on an event in Utah, and Monday they're having the Wrights are having their family branding on Memorial Day as planned. Like it's incredible. Like the show goes on. How resilient rodeo people are, and you know, hard things happen and tough things happen sometimes to the best people, but there are a lot of things that are like, you know, old sayings, but they've been around a long time because they're true.
They are. So as you're driving along today or listening to us, look around. The trees are green. I'm thankful for my friendships. I'm thankful for Kendra. Thankful for Greg. I'm thankful that you listen to us today on episode 26 of No Spin Rodeo. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks. God bless you. Have a great day.